Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Jesse.
And I'm Caleb.
Welcome to the Board Game Rundown presented by the Game Talk Network. Today, we are going to talk about some Kickstarters. I'm going to recap a convention I went to, talk about some games I got to play, and then I'll let you guys kind of talk about what's on your mind.
I forgot. We're also going to talk about an upcoming event next weekend.
So, we should do that first.
Okay.
Let's do that first. Meeple Weekend. Northern Indiana, Southern Michigan, and you can come from anywhere, really. You're not limited to those regions if you want to attend.
Eastern Illinois, Western Ohio.
Sure.
We'll take you.
Hawaii.
Canada.
As long as you take us back with you to Hawaii.
Kansas.
Well, I don't want to go back to Kansas.
No.
We come from Kansas.
Yeah, they can come from Kansas.
Or is the band Kansas going to be there and play?
If only.
So the Meeple Weekend is what we're calling it. It's presented by the Meeple Game Society. We are a local group of board gamers. There's a ton of us. Find us on Facebook. We are having a three-day event this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What are some of the fun things we're doing at Meeple Weekend, Caleb?
Well, we are doing a raffle for fun prizes.
Lots of fun prizes. Gift cards, games, actually experiences at other VR arcades.
Yep.
So we're not just analog. We do digital as well.
We're raffling away. Was it passes to the new VR arcade?
I don't know. That one's still in the air.
Still working on it.
But there is a different VR arcade in Goshen that is giving us packages confirmed.
So we definitely have one.
So we've got a ton of stuff. It's going to be fun. If you bring a canned good, a non-perishable food item, you get a free raffle ticket.
Ah, that's a good one. I like
so
that.
No purchase needed, right?
Right, the get event, a raffle ticket.
The event is free to attend. We just want to play games with people. On Sunday, we're going to do a trade table.
Okay.
You can find all the details for that on our Facebook page because it's a lot to go into. But it's basically, you throw a couple of games on a table and we randomly pick somebody to go first. If your game gets picked by somebody, then you get to go up and pick a game. Sometimes you get really cool stuff. And sometimes you're like, well, I got this one.
And you save it for the next trade table.
And it's fine. It's fine. If Glee the board game does not make an appearance, that has been on the trade. That is a trade table staple every time we've done one and the person who has it is there, it's on the trade table.
Is that like the bad penny?
Yeah, yeah. The rule is if you get Glee the board game in the trade table, it's always the last one there.
Yep.
You have to bring it back to the next
trade
table.
It's like a floater.
Right.
Okay.
I believe that our friends James and Charlie donated that to the original trade table.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So.
How dare they?
It's really welcoming. It's a great group of people.
Yep. I myself am going to be spending most of my weekend teaching games. Some of the more complex ones, Blood Rage, Rising Sun, Twilight Imperium,
right,
etc. Zombicide, I'll do one night.
Sure, sure. See?
So, I'll be teaching a lot of them.
Come and play Zombicide with Caleb because then it's co-op. And
right.
You're not playing against him.
And actually, if there's enough players, I won't even play. I'll just run the zombies.
Just teach. I am going to try really hard to get a game of Mezzo in.
You know I'm in for that one.
I know you are. I've got to find the right time, and you will know ahead of time. I'm not just going to show up and wait for you to be busy and then set it up. Okay, we got our
remember,
four players, five
remember,
players.
I've got your Sunday afternoon blocked off. You're mine that afternoon.
I know. Twilight Imperium.
And that's this next weekend?
Coming weekend.
Okay.
Coming weekend.
Okay.
So what's that date? Do you know off the top of your head? That's a watch.
Yeah, it's got the date on it.
That's
Let's see.
Let's see. Today's the 9th?
Yeah. So it's what, the 15th?
15th.
The 14th, 15th, 16th?
Something to that effect. Just show up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Find us on Facebook. It's on the south side of South Bend at the Comfort Suites.
Yep.
Just off of old US 31.
Yep.
So be there. Play games with us. We're friendly. We're nice.
Sometimes. He bites.
I promise you I'll lose the first time.
The first time.
So moving on from that, I'm going to do my IndieCon recap first and then go into Kickstarter because they will naturally feed into each other.
Gotcha.
So IndieCon, I'm going to sound like a snob for a minute. It's an invite only, like 250 people. I know, it's
exclusive.
Terrible. 250 people.
This high roller.
Convention in Indianapolis. And it is really like just go and you sit and play games. And it's really cool. Like there's people from Man vs. Meeple there. Like those guys sponsor a bunch of stuff. So they give away games. There's door prizes and things like that. But for me, like I've got family down there and people that have become my friends. And like I only see when I go down to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. But I play these games with these people every year. It's an amazing group of people. I love the time, and I always meet new people every time also, mm-hmm. which I also like because I am a crazy extrovert, I guess. So, anyways, played a ton of games. I'm going to just give you some names and like a brief rundown of some of them. Llama. We played this card game called Llama, and before I think we were even done, we hadn't left the convention. My wife had already ordered it and purchased it.
Wow.
So, Llama is simply this. You have you got six cards. There's a deck of cards, and there's a card face up, 1 to 6, or a llama. On a 1, if a 1's face up, you can play a 1 or a 2. If a 2's face up, 2 or a 3, right? So on and so forth. You get to a 6, you can play a 6 or a llama. If a llama is up, you can play a llama or a 1, right? And it goes around. You're trying to get rid of all the cards in your hand. The cards you have left in your hand, if somebody goes out, are points.
Again,
you don't want to have points. Fewest points wins.
Okay.
Fewest points wins. Okay. First time somebody gets to 40 points, which is what I did because I'm really awesome at games, it ends the game, and then the person with the lowest points wins. So you play until somebody gets over 40 or 46 points, which is what I got. Llamas are worth 10 points. You got to get rid of the llamas.
Ooh.
Anyways, we played this card. We played this game. It was so much fun. We're laughing. Because you're like, no, and you can choose to pass. And then you are just stuck with the cards you have in your hands. So like if you've only got a 1, but it's like over like on a 4 or 5 and you just don't want to draw any more cards because you're worried about like getting more points and maybe Jesse's about to go out. It's like, I'm going to just hold and I'll just take my 1 point.
So you made the mistake of thinking that points were how you won the game.
I wish I could claim that. I wish I could claim that. No, I had a...
Look at all these points I have. I got 46. Obviously, I win.
Clearly, I win. No, I was... you're pushing your luck, right? Like I'm like trying to stay in.
Drawing more than you should.
And if you get rid of all of your cards, your points are represented by chips. There's white chips and black chips. White chips are 1 point. Black chips are 10 points. You can trade in your white chips to get black chips. This is important because if you get rid of all your cards, you get to get rid of one of your chips. So you could get rid of 10 points if you have a black chip.
Okay.
So I was really close to getting rid of a black chip. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Instead, I got stuck with 2 llamas and it blew up my whole thing. That was 20 points I lost again.
And you were so close to getting rid of one of your black chips so many times. You're like, well, I got to try again.
Yeah. It was like...
One of these times.
Yes. It was a terrible... Like, it's why I don't go to casinos, because it's like, oh, yeah, this time I got it.
I was going to say, you know, Tim, there are specialists who can help with that.
Yeah, I even said one point during the game, what are the odds? And the response was, very good, apparently, because... So anyways, Llama, it's a tiny little box. It's just a deck of cards and some chips. Tons of fun. I will be bringing this game to like all events because you can play, you can teach and play in like 10 minutes and have a really good time.
Right.
Tons of fun. We played a game called Detective Club.
Okay.
Detective Club. You have these Dixit or Mysterium style cards. Okay. So they're like tarot size cards with like these really trippy images on them. Right. You've played Mysterium.
Yeah.
You remember what the cards look like. So one person is going to think of a word based on the cards that they have in their hand. They then have notepads for every player. On all but one of the notepads, they're going to write a word that they thought of, and they're going to hand them all out.
A word or the word?
The word.
Okay.
The same word.
Okay.
Then, I am going to play this card and say, this represents the word that I just gave most of you.
Okay.
the person who does not have the word has to try to figure out what the word is.
Okay.
Because as we play cards that relate, so you're trying to key in on the theme that is going around. And then after everybody's played two cards, you're going to go around and explain why you played the cards you did.
Okay.
So the person, after everybody's played two cards, the person who gave the word is like, water. Water was the word. And I played this card because there's water, like over here. And then this card because there's a fish. Like, okay. The fish isn't in water, but it's...
connected.
It's connected, right?
Sure.
And you go around and you explain.
Okay.
So, if you didn't have the word, and you're trying to play cards off of what other people had, you're like, well, you know, this relates to this, and then this one I just threw because I didn't have a lot, and it's kind of close.
It seemed appropriate.
I was so wrong one time with... because I didn't have the word. And there was, like, cards going around that had animals, and I was like, oh, it's animals. And then there were cards going around that had, like, I don't even remember. And it was, I was not anywhere close. And they got to me, and I still couldn't think of, like, even any way to make it relate.
Right.
And I was like, guys, I just had bad cards. And I, you know, I was just trying to throw off the person without the word, which is Max over there. It was him. And everybody guessed that it was me and got points because I clearly had no plan.
Okay.
They didn't believe you. Yeah, they did not believe me. My lie did not work. They saw through my subterfuge.
Okay. It's not hard.
Yeah. I'm not true to you. Anyways, super excellent game. Detective Club. Lots of fun. Really easy to play. Kind of a good party game. You know, yeah. You can like kind of break out and like kind of break the ice and stuff.
Right.
My wife played her favorite game of the convention, and I didn't get to play it because I was playing Cthulhu Wars, which is fine. I can live with that.
I need to play Cthulhu Wars again.
Isle of Cats. So you've got these boats that are your board, and they're gridded out. And you've got these cats that are kind of shaped like Tetris pieces.
Are you telling me that this is a game about herding cats?
Yeah, on a boat to take to an island, and you've got to fit them on your boat. Are you okay? You look
like Tetris.
You're like...
Somebody took. It's like herding cats, and they said, "Let's make a game out of that."
Yes.
Okay.
It is not in retail yet, so we played somebody. They played somebody's Kickstarter version. So, go to your game store and say, "Hey, when are you getting Isle of Cats? I need Isle of Cats. Please order it. You've got like 2 weeks, or it's coming out in like 2 weeks.
I need more cats.
You need more cats. Isle of Cats." We will be getting a copy of Isle of Cats at my house. I can already tell you because my wife loved it. Another amazing game we played. We played a lot of games, but it's like a sit and play. Have you guys heard of Cartographers?
No. Sadly, no.
Okay. Have you played a roll and write or a flip and write? Like Welcome To or On Tour? Have you played On Tour with me? Okay. So everybody's got a little map. Grade it out. There's mountains on the map, things like that, and it is basically like a town.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a card that flips up, and it's going to say maybe river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to tell you, it's going to basically give you, it might give you two options, it might give you one option, and it might be like four spaces in a straight line. You're going to then on your board draw out of your grid four little rivers that match that pattern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you're going to go through, there might be forests, there might be...
sure.
Farms, houses, whatever. There are scoring things. So if you've got mountains connected by like rivers, you might score points, so on and so forth. Then if you draw a monster card, it tells you whether you pass your city to the left or the right. And then that person puts the monster somewhere in your map and jacks up your whole plan. Then you get your map back and you're like, huh. And you could do your monsters like smiley faces with devil horns, which is kind of what I did most of the time. But yeah, so you just go through and you go through a couple of different, you know, seasons or eras or whatever. And by the end, you've drawn out like this whole little map of your city. You got your little city and it looks really cool.
Does it use like dry erase or something?
No, it's just a pad of paper.
Oh, and it's
yep, pad paper.
Of pencil.
Yep.
Gotcha.
It's really good. Yep. It's really good. Also, my wife went out and bought that game right away.
That does sound fun.
It's really good. We can play it. It will take like 20 minutes. It does not take long.
Sounds like IndieCon is just bad for your wallet.
But it's so good for my heart. It's so good for my heart. I will I will breeze through. We play Barrage. I play Cthulhu Wars twice.
Gosh.
Two epic, epic games.
We need to try to get that done this weekend, too.
Yeah, I know. I know. I got to learn how to play Mezza, which is going to...
Yeah.
I have a feeling that game's going to jump, like, right into my top five.
Right. Easily. Wow.
Because I played it... We were trying to play quickly. Actually got lucky and had one of the developers of the game teach it to us. But he had, like, a time commitment.
Right.
So he was like, I'm giving you the express version, but I really want you to know how to play. And he was an awesome teacher. And there's enough to Mezzo that I think it would be hard, without having looked at the rule book, that I think it would be hard to, like, it would take some time to figure out.
Sure.
Just to work out the mechanics. But now I've had him explain to me. So it's like, oh, no, we can do this. Yeah, it's...
I really want to play
Mezzo. Oh, it's so neat. It's so... It's great. It's so unique. That's the thing. It's like, I hadn't played it. I played things similar, but it's its own thing.
Right.
So, super excited about Mezzo. Very excited.
Yeah, I want to play Mezzo too.
The last game I will talk about was another game that we got, but we got it in a raffle. It was a play to win game. It's called Leaping Lemmings. Leaping Lemmings, you've got a board. You've got the start, and you've got the finish. And basically, you are trying to get your group of lemmings from the start over to the end so that they can jump off the cliff into the water.
That's kind of grim, isn't it?
Well, like the game presents it like they're diving into the water and you're getting points. Okay. The points you get are based on like how many movement points they have when they go over the edge.
Oh, okay.
So that's how spectacular their dive was.
Okay.
Right. So the lemmings are moving. They can stack up on top of each other and things like that.
Like Camelot.
Correct. And that's important because there are two regions that are patrolled by eagles that are hungry.
Okay, that's where it gets grim.
That is where it gets grim. So, your lemmings are moving across. You're choosing. A card flips over. It's got a number that you move one of your lemmings that many spaces. Okay. Right? One player, and everybody takes turns, rolls the red die for the red eagle and the blue die for the blue eagle. They're each on each side. They move in like clockwise or counterclockwise movement, and then they can choose to eat a lemming that is in their little territory.
Their little area.
And if they're stacked up, it eats the top lemming.
Oh,
well. If your lemming is on the bottom of the stack, he can't move until the other lemmings go. So you have like fun action, special action cards that you can get, and one of them is called Pull My Paw, and that makes all the lemmings clear out of one space except for your lemming. So there's tons of like really hilarious things, and you're trying to get your lemmings to go dive off a cliff. It was really
trying to escape the eagles.
Right No, it was a blast. It was hilarious. I was playing it with Kelly and we were just laughing and eating each other's lemmings, and they've got little names on them, you know. Right. Like Victor, no, why, you know? Yeah, it's
that's perfect. Just give them names. That makes it so much.
It's super good. It's super good. So, last thing from IndieCon, which will lead into Kickstarter. IndieCon, the guys from Colossal. I know I'm talking a lot about them, but they really impressed me over the weekend.
We can tell.
They were demoing a new game that is going to hit Kickstarter on Thursday. So if today's the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, maybe?
Thursday?
Yeah.
13th. No, Friday 13th, so 12th. You're right.
Sweet. The 12th. I pulled that one right out of my head. A new game called Ruination. The theme behind Ruination is it's like way in the future, post-apocalyptic. Everything, the gas is all gone. So everything's kind of gone back to like this, not steampunk, but sort of that level of tech, lower.
Sure.
And you are in Asia and you're trying to impress the new Khan, like this great and powerful Khan. And you're battling through wastelands with your tribe. It's really, I'm not doing it justice. I'm just going to say, go look at it. I'm going to say, go look at it when it goes live. Because the miniatures look awesome. Miniatures, right? Right. The miniatures look awesome. The gameplay is really unique. It is really unique. And it is... I don't want to not do it justice. So that's coming to Kickstarter this week. Give it a look. Because Colossal Games, Western Legends, Mezzo, Terrors of London. They've got a lot of good games out. And plus, they're from Indiana, most of them. I'm biased, right?
Yeah, me too.
Only a little.
Right. Yeah, it's fair. Also on Kickstarter. Have you guys played Who Goes There With Me?
Don't think so.
Have you played The Thing?
I have played The Thing.
Okay. So Who Goes There, first edition, is based on the original novel about The Thing. So you don't know who's The Thing, who's been infected, so on and so forth. Who Goes There is really, 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 really hard. It is a really well-produced game, and it is really, really, really easy to die.
Sounds all right.
Maybe too hard. But who knows? Anyways, they're doing a second edition. They've revamped some rules. They've added a couple of expansions. I would say you need to get on the Who Goes There Kickstarter and just look at their stretch goals.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have them listed all the way out to like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And by those levels, these stretch goals are really insane. Like, we will fly to Antarctica.
I think I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Are they going to record a game in Antarctica where they play it?
I mean, if they raise like $500 million.
Yeah. Their goals are like have certifiable game designers, i.e. not random people.
Right.
You know, like chug a gallon of milk each or something.
Right. Yeah, and film it.
Yeah, and film it.
Is one of them going to eat potato salad on camera? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I wouldn't wish potato salad on anyone, but that's my own personal preference. So anyways, Who Goes There? Second edition. The components to this game are amazing. They are top-notch. They look really good. The sculpts are really good.
Okay.
If you are a components person, really nice. Really nice. I'm hoping they tweak the gameplay to make it
a
little easier. Yeah, because I think we were going... We basically, after we played, we're like, we've got to house rule some things because it is... It was, well, there's player elimination.
You're going to dog ear the rule book, be like, all right, this.
Yeah, because there's player elimination, and if you go out really early.
Then you're,
I mean, you're just like, okay, I'm hanging out.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is.
Player elimination's one of those touch and go things. You know.
I can handle it. I'm a big boy. Right. I was one of the people that died really early.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm just hanging out. I'm not going to rain on everybody else's parade because they played better or had better luck than me.
Right.
But anyways, Who Goes There, second edition. I'd say it's worth a look. I'm going to get to my last one, and then if you guys have any Kickstarters you want to talk about, that's cool too. Giant Meeple Circus. So, Meeple Circus, you got cards.
Yep.
You're trying to stack your guys up to get points.
Yep.
Giant Meeple Circus is that, but giant.
But bigger.
So the meeples, like the regular acrobat meeples, are like this big.
I feel like that'd be easier.
I don't know.
Because the biggest challenge is trying to get all of your little guys to sit just right. And if you move wrong, you knock them all over.
Well, it still happens.
Because they're so delegate. Yeah, but at least when they're bigger, like, you got more to work.
So in Meeple Circus, do you get points for doing the challenges?
Yeah.
Like with left hand?
Yeah.
Or our friend Bob. He couldn't use his thumbs and had to use his offhand.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so we kept calling him Lobster Boy the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was brutal. I don't know if it's in the original, but the new one also comes with like a blindfold. So you can imagine what that challenge is, right? Like, I'm going to wreck all my stuff.
Gosh.
And then you get points, like, for having the red guy, like, the highest.
Yep.
It's Meeple Circus, but it's gigantic. It was a blast. Like, the table presence of it, right? Like, everybody's walking by, like, what?
What's that?
Checking things out.
Yep.
You're doing crazy things.
And you've got, like, elephants. And
elephants, horses. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, that's fun.
I really liked it.
I'd recommend it.
I really like it. I don't know if I'll end up with a giant one.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, $100. But it's gigantic. I mean, it's solid wood, right? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever don't have heat in the winter, you can always burn that. But I wouldn't recommend
it. Firewood's cheaper than that.
It is.
What's the fuel value of your board game collection? What do you think?
Oh, the plastic would kill everyone, so I don't have to. So zero. It's a net negative. You don't want to do it. And don't give my wife any ideas. But yeah, Giant Meeple Circus was a blast. We had a really good teacher. It's It was one of the guys from Colossal Games, but he was also kind of working on this project. So this, he was not affiliated with Colossal while doing that one.
Right.
No. But he was an awesome teacher. He made it really fun. It was very thematic because he's like, everybody hold up your blue meeple. And so everybody holds up a blue, and he's like, that's your acrobats. They like to be on the ground. Get them out of the sky. They're not happy. So you put them all down real quick, you know, and then he's like, all right, you know, everybody hold up this meeple. Now they're happy. Keep them up there. They don't want to touch the ground. You're not going to score points if they're on the ground, you know. So he did a really good job. He was very entertaining while teaching. Like, you felt like...
It's really half the battle when you're teaching a game.
It was a very positive experience.
Good. But
we had an awesome time. So those are my Kickstarters. You guys got any hot ones or not hot ones you want to talk about? I've talked a lot, and I apologize.
It's all right. I don't have any Kickstarters to talk about.
I have the... I know that the Gladiator one.
Gladius?
For Glory, I think it is.
Oh, For Glory.
I know that just hit. I know that just hit because I just paid for it.
Oh, okay. So the Pledge Manager closed.
The Pledge Manager hasn't opened yet.
Oh, it just ended.
Yeah. But gotcha. It just ended.
Gotcha.
So I'm really looking forward to that one.
What's that about?
Gladiatorial combat.
It's a deck
maybe.
Builder gladiator.
Oh, about gladiators?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deck builder gladiator
yes.
game.
Okay.
It's a two-player game.
Mm-hmm.
So you and your competitor, you both do like a deck building thing where you train up your gladiators and then you go head to head in the grand arena, right? In mm-hmm. the Coliseum.
Right. So you get like this build up phase
yeah.
and then
okay.
And then
I think it'd be really cool. It's got all these, neat fancy things like a solid metal gladiator helmet for first player, and yeah,
I like the fancy bits. I'm guilty, and I know I will be the first one to admit, like, you don't need it,
right?
But guilty
as charged.
Yeah.
You have to buy the metal coins for every game,
right?
Well, see, now I did find a workaround for that.
Just buy a bunch of metal coins.
I bring them with me.
To every game. There you go.
But, I mean, like Dinosaur Island, right? It had metal coins. I made sure I had the metal coins for that. Scythe had the metal coins. Viticulture.
Right.
I've got, like, the Viticulture metal coins.
Right.
Like, I mean, if a game comes with it,
yeah.
I'm using it, and I got it.
Right, I need to find metal coins for Rising Sun, because I don't have those, and I want them.
Oh. Only we
Bob did
somebody.
Not give me those.
Did he not have those?
I guess not.
Oh, what a bummer.
I know.
You've got like all the other good stuff for Rising Sun.
I do.
So depressing. So moving on then from Kickstarter, do you guys have a hot topic you want to discuss? A game you're crazy about right now?
So I will say, like, I think it was early last year, the Kickstarter for Blood Rage Digital came out.
Oh, yeah.
And... I backed it because it gave me all the fancy bits for Blood Rage.
Because you came into Blood Rage late.
Right. So I went out and bought 90% of the original Kickstarter stuff.
Right.
Like the Wolfman, Fenrir.
Yeah.
Mountain Giant, etc.
I recommend all of it.
The only thing I didn't get was the exclusive clan. Which one is the Boars?
The Wild Boar, yeah.
Yeah, Wild Boar.
That's fine.
Okay, whatever. I still got the fifth player expansion and all that jazz, right? But, so... the Blood Rage Digital Kickstarter comes out, and you get all these fancy bits. You get duplicates of all of the original Kickstarter stuff.
With alternate sculpts?
Yeah, they're alternate sculpts.
Sure.
Of all the original Kickstarter stuff. So Garm instead of Fenrir, right?
Right.
The Wolf Woman instead of the Wolf Man.
Right.
You get the Stag Clan instead of the Boar Clan. Whatever, I like
right.
it. Now, what I wasn't expecting, they had their open beta for the digital edition.
Uh-oh. Did you play digital?
I did.
How is it?
It's actually surprisingly good. Like, I wasn't expecting much.
Sure.
I've only played with very easy, and normal level computer enemies. But they can be brutal.
Now, is that
normal?
Steam only right now?
You get a Steam key.
Okay.
So I have a Steam key. It's in my Steam library.
Sure.
I don't know how that'll shake out to be... later,
because I'm an iOS guy, because I don't have a PC at home, so Steam is this amazing thing that I never look at because I don't really have access.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, there's a whole world of things out there, but I have a PlayStation, an Xbox,
right,
and a nice iPad. I play all my games on that.
Sure. So yeah, I don't know what that'll look like going
forward.
Sure. I was very surprised. It's very well... It doesn't have any expansions on it yet, but it, again, it was the beta.
Sure.
So they were just testing it. But the interface was pretty intuitive. All the cards worked well, you know. Sure. You could do all your
so you still draft and everything.
Yep, still drafting and everything.
Perfect. Nice. Yeah. And you're a big Blood Rage fan, so yeah. So you're not just coming in like, oh, this was cool. Like you're like,
right. I'm like, okay. How easy is this to actually play?
Sure. Right? So is Blood Rage in your top 10?
So the issue is,
because it's got to be close.
Right? It would be. Except Rising Sun.
I knew you were gonna say Rising Sun
is a game that is a difference in kind, barely. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're both very similar.
So
and they have different mechanics working for them.
Blood Rage is Risk, and Rising Sun is Axis and Allies.
Sure, but and the thing is, I try to limit myself to what I put in my top 10 to different kinds of games.
Sure. Okay. Right? So that kind of game already has been slotted.
Right. Rising Sun is, I think, objectively better.
Rising Sun is a superior game, but Blood Rage is a more accessible game.
Yeah,
I have a much easier time teaching Blood Rage.
The way combat works, the way the betting works for combat, yeah. And mm-hmm. you don't necessarily win by winning.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the honor track system, the fact that you have to bet in order to get different sorts of benefits in combat.
Alliances. Like official alliances, official. Not just like I won't mess with you, but like actual yin-yang.
The game forces you to make alliances where you have, that are legally binding for the game's rules.
Right.
And I think one of the biggest things that makes Rising Sun harder to teach is the fact that the buying cards is your own decision. You don't get dealt a hand of cards to deal with.
You are actively pursuing.
You have to pick cards of your own. And same with the actions as well. Mm-hmm. You have to choose what actions happen every round rather than you just get your turn.
They just all happen.
You get to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
So sometimes you'll want to train troops, build up troops, but you'll never see the tile to do that. And that kind of mechanic is hard to deal with for newer kinds of players.
Yeah. And
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the things you just said.
Well, and so I in my top 10, I cheat a little. So Cthulhu Wars is in there.
Yeah.
But is Cthulhu Wars that different from Blood Rage Rising Sun?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you why.
Okay,
I'll tell you why it's different from Blood Rage.
Sure.
And this is what Blood Rage is lacking for me.
Sure.
And asymmetrical factions.
That's fair. Well, and I was about to say, and let's break this down a little bit. You know, Blood Rage, Cthulhu Wars, both territory control. Mm-hmm. You have a resource, right? Mm-hmm. You get special abilities, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I'll give it to you. Asymmetric factions. That's one of the reasons why I think Rising Sun is a better game.
Asymmetrical factions.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. I am a sucker for asymmetrical.
I wish Blood Rage had asymmetrical factions.
I think they're important to encourage replayability because you're going to want to play all the factions eventually.
So where Blood Rage gets it right, though, is the card drafting.
The card drafting, yep.
The card drafting makes everybody asymmetrical in a way.
Right, in a way.
But Blood Rage is easier to teach.
Yeah.
It's very accessible. It's still a ton of fun.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Never have any problem playing Blood Rage. Right? So, but...
Yeah, and I mean, like, when you're talking about, like, oh, these are the things that I like about Blood Rage, because as compared to Rising Sun, it's like, we're not bashing on Blood Rage and saying it's the worst game and you should never play it.
Right. Yeah. You should absolutely play Blood Rage.
For me as a person, I'm a critical person of the things I like. So the more I'm complaining and poking holes into something, that means I like it.
Right, because you've invested the time to investigate.
I don't spend the time to think about things I don't like.
Right,
sure, I just file it away under, I don't like this. So if I'm sitting here complaining about a game for a really long time, unless I preface it by saying, I don't like this game. Usually it's because I like it, but there are, you know, the things that I, you know,
right.
See. Yeah, in no, moment. It's, yeah, they are
different.
Two...
Games. Yeah, well, and so for instance, those three games, right? Mm-hmm. Cthulhu Wars, Rising Sun, Blood Rage, mm-hmm. they're kind of this triangle,
uh-huh.
right? And I love all three of them, but I don't have room in my top 10 for all three of them.
Sure.
So I take two.
Sure. Dare I ask, do you know your top 10, like, off the top of your head?
Twilight Imperium is 1.
Yeah.
Rising Sun is probably 2.
Mm-hmm.
Cthulhu Wars is probably 3.
I've trained you well.
I know. Let's see. Tapestry is probably in there.
Tapestry's really good. I like Tapestry.
Concordia is definitely in there. I love Concordia. That's what I'm on 5, I think.
You're right around 5. Yeah,
5. Let's see. Spectrops. I really like Spectrops.
Spectrops is a blast. Wait till you play Narcos with me.
I actually really liked Game of Thrones.
Oh, I love Game of Thrones.
I think I may have recency bias for that one, but I
I really enjoyed it.
If you find yourself thinking about the game a lot
right.
when you're not playing the game.
Right.
Unless you're like, that game was so terrible, I wasted so much time. Right. Which was definitely not the case.
I really want to love Journeys in Middle Earth.
Okay, yeah.
I've only played it a handful of times.
Sure.
I really love the aesthetic. It's one of those games that I really want to love.
Mm-hmm.
Terraforming Mars. And I've got one more. Let's see. What am I missing? Oceans.
Uno. Oh, Oceans. Yeah. No, Oceans is amazing.
It is.
Oceans is one of my favorite games I played last year, now, early this year.
Disclaimer. That was a list that was given. Just off the cuff.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
Listen.
Not binding.
I am guilty of, I wouldn't even number my top
five,
right? My top five is like this amorphous blob that keeps right? shifting.
Yep.
Now, it's usually always like the same five games.
Right.
But it's like, it just depends on the day you ask me.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, there's a lot of recency bias there. I played a bunch of those recently.
Tons.
Not binding. Don't hold
right.
me
that. Right. But we know like Twilight Imperium.
Yeah. Rise of Sun Cthulhu
Rising
Wars.
Rising Sun Cthulhu
right.
Wars. Like Concordia. Some of those
right.
are always going to be
right.
up there.
And I will always play those.
Right.
If you give me the choice, hey, Caleb, do you want to play Concordia or Rising Sun? I'll be like, right, why do you have to make
you
me pick?
You zip yourself into two people
right.
and you play both.
Exactly. It's like, why do you have to make me pick?
If only that were the option.
Right. Right.
I get a lot more games played that way.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would too. What's your favorite game, Jesse? This is your first time
game.
Here.
Okay. That's a tough one.
Or top two or three. I don't want to pin you down
top
like
two
I did your brother.
Top two or three games. Okay, so I don't want to sound like I'm an echo of him, but I will say, I think Twilight Imperium, the 5th edition?
Fourth edition.
That's the only one I've played. I think it's a really well-designed game.
It is.
I really
very
like
well.
It. That one could definitely be up there. I think Rising Sun, for me, it's close, but I don't know that it would make it all the way into top three.
Oh, top three,
it
sure.
Might, it
no,
might
whatever.
Fall down to top five, you know.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
That's another good one.
I've trained him well.
I've played, so by virtue of having played a lot of it, I do really love Lords of Waterdeep.
I love Lords of Waterdeep.
It is
always
an excellent
will.
Game. I wish they would make another expansion for it, though.
I know, and I don't think they...
They won't. I mean, yeah, it's not being...
It's old enough made, now, but... and nothing's come out.
Yep.
Right.
But I'd love to see, like, more for it. Because I've gotten to the point where I've memorized quest cards. Like,
oh, sure.
I can see the picture, and I know everything about the quest card without having to read it.
That's a good sign, though.
It is. Yeah, I've played that game a lot. Could be recency bias, but I've played a lot of Dominion recently.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Dominion
one that
is
I
an
do
evergreen.
Enjoy.
Yep.
It is a nice little game. I'm trying to think.
While you're thinking, I'm going to bag on Dominion for a minute.
Go for it.
Here's the problem with Dominion.
Sure.
Dominion was like the first deck builder, and it does so many things so well.
Sure.
But now there's other deck builders.
All kinds, yeah.
Of shapes and sizes. And not all are created equal.
It's true.
There are so many other deck builders now that I just like better than
it's
Dominion.
True.
But I feel like Dominion is always sort of enshrined in that Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Because they were one of the first and they did it so well and just damn near perfected it. You know?
Yep.
I just like other deck builders more than Dominion.
Yeah.
But I got in hot and heavy with Dominion like early on when I started playing.
So Dominion
games.
Was one of the first games, well, like one of the first real games I ever played.
Mm.
It's probably in my first like five.
Sure.
Right? And I'll admit, I was not impressed with my first playthrough. Because what it was a bunch of people who knew how to play the game better than I did.
Oh, sure.
Just smoked me.
Yeah.
Right? And I had no idea what was going on, no idea what I was doing.
And Dominion's tough, right? Because there's... With everything laid out, there are basically right moves and wrong moves.
Correct.
You know, I mean, you can mitigate some of
right.
that because there's some randomness with the decks.
Correct.
You know, but you're essentially like...
Well, and with certain sets, you're playing the game of getting rid of cards.
Right.
So that you can almost constantly have the good things.
You just have your combinations just roll
yeah.
out. And the other deck builders do that as well, but I think some of them do it better and that are more forgiving to new players, so it's
yep.
easier to get them in.
See, one of my favorite sets for Dominion is the ones with the bandits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you get a gold, everyone else reveals the top card of their deck. If it's a silver or gold, they trash it.
Yep. I mean, Dominion's got a lot of really good things.
Yeah.
I just... I'm past the honeymoon phase with
sure.
it. I love and respect your honeymoon phase
sure.
because we have played like DC deck building
oh, yeah,
stuff
yeah.
together.
I played those.
And it's like Dominion is, there's a little more to it
yep.
than that. I love, unabashedly love DC deck builder.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it is a theme. You could slap any theme on that game.
Oh, yeah.
And they have.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And it's not, if you were like sunk into theme, there's not theme.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Right.
It's
right.
one of my favorite
yeah.
deck builders. But it's so accessible.
Yeah.
I can teach it. We can play it like real fast.
Yep.
Goes,
right.
But it goes really good. But I totally respect Dominion because Dominion is a great evergreen
yeah.
early title.
So you sure. were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So you were supposed to be thinking while I
was,
bagged on
Dominion.
I was,
but then I was like thinking about the conversation.
Okay, so games that I think you like.
Okay.
I know you like Waterdeep. We know you like Twilight
yeah.
Imperium. And we know you like Dominion.
Yep.
You played Oceans?
I have. Yeah, I did really like Oceans. I thought that Oceans was one of those games where, like, I like it when, I like to see when, especially, you know, game companies that are making lots of different games, when they make one game and then they take some of the best ideas from that game
and
roll them into another new game.
And
I don't like when they make, like, a copy, but when you see enough differences and enough upgrades on the formula.
Just straight up improvements.
Just improvements, exactly. And I think Oceans was that to Evolution.
I played Evolution really early on,
yep.
like, right when it first came out.
Yep.
Went bonkers for Evolution.
Oh, yep. Loved it. I
loved
Evolution.
It.
We played a bunch of Evolution together.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's Oceans, rough. Also brutal,
also
but
brutal.
Somehow more fun.
Yeah. I think the best part about Oceans, I think what Oceans did to really blow me out of the water was that deep ocean cards that are all you need.
Yes.
No,
and it's
copies.
A huge stack
yep.
of
there's like, what, 60 of them or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, easily.
Easily. And they're all, each and every single one of them is a unique trait.
Everything gets
so
crazy.
Every time you play the game, you're going to be seeing completely new cards. There are no duplicates in there. I think that's really exciting just
so
to play
good.
As a game.
It's so good.
And you're never going to have, hey, he got the same trait I did.
And I'm going to tell you this. Do yourself a favor and just get the deluxe edition.
Yeah.
Just do it.
It's
worth it.
The cards are very pretty, too.
The cards are beautiful.
I'm,
the artwork's beautiful.
I'm a huge fan of, like, underwater marine life and all
oh,
that.
Oh, sure.
I love reading
so they
studying
had
all about that. So they had me on theme.
Right. And the theme fits.
And it does, yeah.
Because you're building ecosystems.
Exactly.
And, you know, one ecosystem gets too big, then it will starve out because the
right.
other one, it can't sustain
right.
itself.
Yep.
It's really, really well-designed game and a ton of fun.
So I know you like... How about Concordia? I've only played that one once, so I wouldn't
it's
necessarily
fair.
Be able to throw it into my top five. I feel like in order to top five a game, I've had to have played it three or more times.
I know you're also a sucker for dice.
I do like dice.
Dice Forge.
I do like Dice Forge.
Oh,
I don't
dice
know
Forge.
That I would... That would be hard to say top five. Definitely maybe top
Ooh.
Ten.
Ooh.
I do love Dice Forge, but...
See, the way to actually get him to commit to things is a challenger.
Challenge.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's different for me. The list is going to change every day.
Have you played Tapestry?
I have not played
Tapestry. Oh, wait. Oh, let's stay in the Stonemaier realm. Viticulture. We talked a little bit about
yeah.
Viticulture.
Yeah,
is solid,
solid
man.
Game. I do like I love worker placement games. Obviously, Lords of Waterdeep is very much a worker
mm-hmm.
placement game.
Mm-hmm.
I love those kinds of games. Smash Up is another one that I really do enjoy as a simple... I think... My controversial opinion about Smash Up, this is the thing that nobody ever seems to agree with me on. I think that it's a two-player game, and to play it with any more is sort of a disservice to it. I prefer Smash Up two-player.
I will say yes and no.
Okay.
I've had more fun playing Smash Up with two-player.
Yeah.
But I feel like you need other people to mess with. You know what I mean? You need to have more
yeah.
people to mess with. To get some of the really good combinations
uh-huh.
in Smash Up.
Yeah. I think some of the different factions will do better in two-player than they will in three or more.
Yes.
And so your choice of what factions you pick is definitely going to change.
Right.
On whether or not you're
so the Ignobles are almost, like, worthless.
Unplayable unless it's two-player.
Right.
Because they're all about giving your opponent units and taking their units. And,
right.
you know, control of everything is different. I like playing them with two. I just like Smash Up with two.
Sure.
Players. It's a very
no.
it's an interesting...
It also keeps it faster, and I think
yes,
Smash Up
yes.
can drag
on.
And if
yeah. when you get to 3-4, when you get to 4-5 or even 6 players,
mm-hmm.
you're waiting a very long time for your turn. And so that's why I like it as a 2-player game.
Yep.
I think it's an excellent...
And then while you are zoned out, somebody is like taking a base from you.
Right.
You're like, wait, what happened?
Right, and the issue is you leave the board a certain way or the table a certain way,
uh-huh.
and then by the time it gets to your turn, like, you have to go, okay, everything I was planning
at the end of my turn is completely worthless.
Sure.
Being flushed out. But yeah, so I think 3 or 2 to 4 is probably like my ideal.
Smash up.
Smash up area, player numbers. I'm having like a brain freeze.
No, it's cool. I got a different question for you guys.
Okay.
Because
I love debating things.
You guys, I have a way too big board game collection.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. You guys don't have that problem.
No.
I was gonna say, according to number of shelves, I think I've got like a quarter.
I may have asked you already about your shelf of shame.
Yes, you have.
Do you have a shelf of shame?
I do not.
Or a shelf of opportunity? Okay, how about this? Is there a game that you are aware of that you have not played yet that you're like, I need to play this and I don't understand why I haven't?
That's interesting.
Because you know people with games, you've seen games, yes. Right? So I would say that between me and some of the other people in our mm-hmm. game group, right, you've got a lot of options. There's a lot of games. Absolutely. Like, there's probably not a good reason you haven't played something.
Yeah. What's yours? Do you have one?
My shelf of shame might...
No. Like one of those games where, you know, you know you should love it. Why haven't you played it yet?
I'm sure I do. I'm sure... Glory to Rome. I know I've talked about that before. Glory to Rome's one. Like, with all the different things you can do with the cards. And it is one of the, like, it is a lot of people's grail games. I lucked into a copy for dirt cheap at a flea market. And I was like, sweet. Right?
See, you know what my game for that is, right?
Which one?
What's up? The one that somebody else has that I know I'd love it. I just haven't played it yet.
What's up? Mezzo?
Mezzo.
And it's not even out yet. Well, it's kind of out. It's
low hanging fruit.
It's coming out now. Yeah.
Low hanging fruit.
It is. No, Mezzo. Mezzo will be a game. So we didn't even really get to play a complete game. We played 2 out of 3 ages. So much. There's so much going on in it. It's so good.
What about you, buddy?
Well, I remember distinctly seeing several games that over different game nights and different game conventions where people would bring them in. I would think, that looks really interesting and I kind of want to play it. I remember one that Tim showed one night that a night I missed where you guys played it. It was about giant robots.
GKR, heavy hitters.
Yep,
please play that with me sometimes.
Giant killer robots.
Did you play GKR with us?
I have not played giant killer robots.
Okay, listen.
That's one that I saw.
We are going to recruit one other person because it's a 4-player game. You can play up to 4 players.
Up to 4, but it's more fun with 4.
It's more fun with 4. I don't care if we play teams or if we play...
solo?
Play everybody versus everybody. I want to play GKR more and more and more and more. That game...
More and more.
Yes. I just got it. I got it less than a year ago.
Yep.
I've played it 5 or 6 times, mm-hmm. and it's probably in my top 10. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Because there is a level of complexity... You have to be fine with being attacked.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, that does take a specific kind of person.
Right. Because what's going to happen is you're doing stuff, and if you leave your flank open, and somebody's like, well, I was going to attack Caleb, but like here's this nice target, and you forgot all about me, so I'm going to just shoot a whole bunch of rockets at you right now.
Into you.
Yeah. You know.
That's one that I keep seeing, and you keep bringing the bag over. Oh, wait, I know what it is. Hold on, I forgot.
Oh,
Lords of Hellas. I've been promised Lords of Hellas 3 full times, and I've not played Lords of Hellas 3 full times.
Also, Lords of Hellas. I will play that game anytime.
If it makes you feel better, I've only played it once.
Yeah.
I will play that game anytime.
Unless he has a time commitment.
Lords of Hellas, so good.
Yep.
It is so good.
That's one I've not gotten to play that I keep seeing it pop up.
It is beautiful on the table. There is so much interesting strategy. Again, like, combat's unique, like, different things happen, like, the way that things shake out, and then the monsters, like, you go around in the different paths to victory. I love Lords of Hellas. Love it so much.
So I'm gonna shift gears here for a second, because a question just came to me that you can probably answer. So I haven't played Seven Wonders, and I have not played, like, Civilization or anything like that.
Sure.
How close is Tapestry to those games?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
Not at all. Tapestry is... sort of wrongly described as a civilization building game. It is described that way because as you proceed through ages, your civilization gets different advantages, right? Because you're each like a civilization. Sure. That's why it's called that.
Okay.
It is in no way really otherwise.
Because I really want to play Seven Wonders. By all accounts, it's a phenomenal games.
Seven Wonders, an evergreen classic.
I just haven't ever had an opportunity to
play. Card drafting.
I had Seven Wonders Duel in my possession for about 3 months. Never got to play it.
Wait a minute. You live in a house with people you can play games with at the drop of a hat, and you didn't play Seven Wonders Duel.
Yeah.
You guys would do really well with Seven Wonders Duel. Yeah, it is engine building, you know, card drafting. It plays really fast.
Yeah. Life circumstances indicated that I did not get to keep it.
Fair enough. Seven Wonders Duel. Really good. Really good. I think I still have mine somewhere. We will play it. Or regular Seven Wonders.
Right.
Either way, both are really good. Seven Wonders Duel, obviously, two-player.
Yeah.
Seven Wonders not duel, please play with, like, three or four.
Right.
It's a little more fun. Because right. Otherwise, you kind of got, like, a dummy thing going on, and it's not great.
That's never fun.
I don't always love that. No, I will tell you something that I am trying to do more of. Trying to play some more of the classic games.
Yeah, so like older classic
games. Yeah, so over the weekend, I picked up Notre Dame.
Oh.
So you are, you know, it's a board. Mm-hmm. It's a classic worker placement. Like, I can't wait to get it out. Like, I love the theme anyways, right?
Right.
But, so that, like, I need to play Orleans. I need to play Alhambra. I want to play some of these, some of these
the ones that always show up on the top 10 of, like, you know, websites.
Game list.
Right.
Every website.
Right. And it's like, I've never played that.
Yep.
But.
I always like it when I look at, like, the top 10 games and it's like, I played one of them.
Well, I think there's this mentality. I'm definitely guilty of this. So I won't speak for everyone. But I was guilty of this mentality when I got in to games. I played a few of the evergreens, like Ticket to Ride, like some of the gateway ones, right? Yeah. And then it was kind of cult of the new. So, you know, the new games come out, and you're like, that looks amazing. Like, I want this, and I want this.
Right.
And then I kind of rode that wave for a while. And then I started kind of coming into some older games and getting to play these. And it's like, oh, so, like, that's where they got this from.
Yep.
And this is really good. Like, this is really refined. Like, Puerto Rico is really good. And
I like Puerto Rico.
So now I'm
San Juan.
I haven't played San Juan yet.
I like San Juan. It's great. El Grande. Played El Grande.
I have not played El Grande.
I have.
So I need to go back and, like, I'm trying to get back and get sort of that back catalog filled and play some of those games.
Page through some of the older ones.
Yeah. Right. And I'm the new stuff I'm a little more selective on now because I will just pump the brakes a little bit.
Right.
I will get a chance. It's not like I'm not going to get a chance to play it. And then when I do get a new one that I absolutely love, like Oceans, I'm like,
everyone's got to play this.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. And it's fine. I'm fine being that way. Yeah. But so I'm trying to now, like, get some older games in my collection and get them played.
Right. Well, and
try them out.
So for me, because I'm still so, I still have such a smaller collection. What I try to do is try to curate my collection now.
Sure.
So I don't
just get ahead.
Right. I don't really pick up a game, you know, and buy it unless I've either played it before and I know I'll like it, or it just calls to me in such a way that I have to have it.
Sure. I mean, there's some people, and I envy them, but I could never do it, that it's like, if I buy a game, I got to get rid of a game. Like, you have a finite number.
Gosh.
That's like getting rid of kids.
I know. And they but board games don't get old and, like, move out on their own, like, eventually. They don't get married, you know.
Right. Make new board games.
Right. Like, Catan and Mesopotamia get married, and then they make Tigris and Euphrates.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
Concordia?
Maybe.
Almost.
Maybe.
Close.
So anyways, but yeah, so that's been my angle lately. Now, obviously, there's new things that come out, and you're like, oh.
Right, well, obviously, I think baby. I want Mezzo.
Right? Mezzo.
And I still have, you know, For Glory, that's coming at some point. Bloodborne, that's coming at some point. Those are all new.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oceans is new. I got Oceans, right?
Yes. And of course, I've got new stuff coming.
Right. Of course, I still get new stuff, right? But,
right.
You know, anything new I get, I try to curate to a degree where 5 years from now, I'll still be happy that it's in my collection.
Sure, sure. You did better than me. It is better, in my opinion, it is better to be a little more selective early.
Right.
Because, well now, so when I started playing board games, I kind of recruited my friends into it.
Sure.
Okay, like, so my circle of friends. Because my older sister, she got me into them.
Right.
And then I got my wife into it, and then I started bringing my friends in, and we started playing, and then they all got hooked. But the problem was, at the time, like, we didn't have the collections.
Sure.
You know, so we could only play, you know, well, we've got like five games between us. And you play right. a ton of them, right? Yep. So then you just start gobbling up new games, getting right. new games to get new games, and totally guilty of it, getting games faster than I could play them. Yep. And it's tough because I still want all the things.
Right.
But I don't need all the things.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's finding that good pace.
We're men of taste. We like the fancy bits. And the fancy bits cost a bit more. And
they do.
So because the fancy bits cost a bit more, ideally you stretch that out a little bit.
Right. You got to budget the right way, man. It's like, well, I really did want this, but they'll get the fancy version of this. So.
I forgot about Race for the Galaxy. That's one I really like.
Oh, you really like Race.
I do really like Race for the Galaxy.
I've played Race and Roll. I enjoy them, but I'm going to break Spencer's heart. I'm fine not playing them too.
Yeah.
I think there's no denying that there's really good game mechanics there and really good theme and gameplay.
I think that is less of an egregious thing if you had gone on the record and said, you know, I really don't like Nemesis. I think that
No. That would be a downright lie. Nemesis is so much fun.
Nemesis is fun. I should have put that in my top 10. I really like Nemesis.
Nemesis is so much fun. Have you played Nemesis
yet? I have played three or four games of Nemesis. I like the new content that I got to play with last time I played it. I got to see the new character expansions.
Okay, so you're ahead of me.
Yep, they had like a medic kind of character, and they had an android that was very interesting.
Oh, right.
It was like a battery. And so if your goal in the game is you die sooner than everybody else unless you get your battery upgrade.
Fantastic.
But you're like immune to like so many things.
Yeah, but you just auto die at I think it's turn 6 unless you get a special upgrade, and then it's turn 3. Yeah.
Wow.
So you've got like a less of a timer than everybody else to do whatever you're trying to do. And I played that character and it was very interesting. The alternate characters were interesting. I think that Nemesis is unfortunately for me, one of those games where like I think the best part about it, and this is something I like in any game, is I like that you have different objectives every time you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's for some games, very important to me the way you're trying to play the game is going to be different every time.
And different from everybody else.
And different from everybody else.
Exactly. Lords of
Waterdeep, yep, because you're going to have a different lord with different quests. You're going to be looking out for different things, different synergies.
And so, for instance, I spent an entire game of Nemesis trying to do one thing and always having the option that if this doesn't go the way I want it to, well, then I'm killing everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Murder everyone.
Right.
I think that that's actually a consistent design element in a lot of my favorite games, like Twilight Imperium. They're going to have those different scorecards, different types of scoring cards every game. So I like it when they vary your ways to victory.
Right. Yeah. Multiple
that
paths
to victory. That makes replayability like really top-notch for me.
Absolutely. I did win as a door prize a game that I'm very eager to get to the table.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had heard of it, but I hadn't actually had my hands on a physical copy of it. It's called Monster Slaughter.
Mm.
The theme is there is a cabin in the woods, and these kids are there partying.
Of course.
And each player plays a family of monsters. You have a mother monster, a mama monster, a daddy, a mom, and a kid monster. And you're going through, and you're not only betting on which kids are going to die in which order, but you are implementing it. So you are trying to move through the cabin into different rooms and compete for like the most kills. But some of the characters are like Ash from Evil Dead.
Oh,
you know?
Gosh.
So, you know, you're trying to kill Ash. You got, and it's totally.
Let's just be honest. I'm trying to kill Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, it's Bruce Campbell.
Right.
That's fine. But it's totally like inane. It looks actually fairly light. Like we're just going to kind of have fun. The board itself is actually the bottom of the box.
Oh,
it's the floor plan for the cabin.
That's interesting.
And you can slide in like doors. So if doors get broken down, you pull it out. You slide it out.
Okay,
so
that's
you
cool.
There's lots of really neat mechanics to it. I've only opened it up, looked at it, like watched some videos, and I was like, this looks like a lot of fun.
That's an interesting idea. That's actually
there's
something.
A ton of plastic in it. Don't tell Caleb.
That's actually an interesting idea that. You don't see very many games try to incorporate their box pieces.
There's a few,
into the
but
game.
Yeah, like Ice Cool.
Yeah,
but does one. Oh, Isle of Cats.
Does it?
The base of the box, the bottom of the box has a little thing in it, and it's like this is for where your cat, a place for your cat to sit while you play the game, because cats always, you know,
sit in boxes. So the offering to the cat while you play the game.
Yes.
Yep. I gotcha.
Yeah. Brilliant. So, but yes. So that is one that I'm going to try really hard to get played, like, very soon. Like, that in Meza, right? So we're going to have, like, super crunchy, tactical, Meza, you know, and then I'm gonna like shut my brain off, and I'm gonna try to kill a bunch of kids in a cabin with monsters.
Right.
So
sounds fun.
That's the way to go, man. So wrapping up, I will say one more time, because the dudes at Colossal were super nice to me and my friends, and even before I knew they worked at Colossal. Mezzo, look for Mezzo. Mezzo. I'm done saying it.
Mezzo.
Meeple Weekend is this weekend.
Meeple Weekend is this weekend. If you want to see Mezzo, there's a good chance I'll be there with it. Well, I'll be when I'm there, I will have it with me. So there's a chance you will see me with it. Also, check out Ruination on Kickstarter this week. Looks pretty neat. I don't know. And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But hey, check it out, right?
Post-apocalypse are always cool.
I really like post-apocalyptic themed games.
Yeah.
I'm a big Mad Max guy, but I'm a child of the late 70s, early 80s.
Mad Max?
Really late 70s. Not that old.
Well, not
71.
No, that's early. Your math is terrible. Anyways, guys, thank you for watching.
Hairs.
Yeah, there are gray hairs, and then there's no hairs. So it's a balance. It's all about balance. So for the board game rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Jesse.
And I'm Caleb.
There'll still be Caleb and Jesse when it's done. But yeah, thanks for watching, guys. Have a great night. Thanks for watching Board Game Rundown. If you liked what you saw,
give us a thumbs up.
Hit subscribe.
And definitely ring that bell.